be in. So we want to give him the praise. We want to share with you this evening a lesson entitled Caught Up in the Moment. Caught Up in the Moment. And let me explain to you before we get into the text here about what it means to be caught up in the moment. You know, each and every one of us have periods in our lives where we have this adrenaline rush, this dopamine, boy, that shoots the excitement, and we are just thrilled and overjoyed. We are gratified with what we have accomplished, have done. You know, one thing we see in our society today that thrill seekers, people who put on these little squirrel suits and jump off the top of mountains and fly around. And, you know, I discovered that a lot of those people have been killed, ran into those mountains, paragliding, and you know, skydiving. And people are always looking for that rush. They are willing to push life to the very end. Some of you may remember, some of you men, how as young men, boy, we would drive a car as fast as we could drive. Just that rush, that thrill, that excitement. And we did things that always create. I remember as a kid, we used to jump off off houses and all kind of foolish things that we wouldn't dare do now. But for that rush, for that thrill, for that adrenaline fix, we would do things that would just drive us. And in many other areas. You know, I used to often wonder why good girls always wanted bad men. You ever thought about that? It was the thrill of trying to change that fellow that drove some of these nice girls to want some of these old hard, tough, cruel people that were going to abuse and misuse them. And now that has come to play here. We get caught up in these moments of gratification where the only thing we want to do is satisfy that desire, that lust for the flesh, that lust for the eye, the pride of life. And I'm willing to bet it has driven most of us to do things that we have come to regret later on in life. Mistakes that we have made where we felt like, oh, I want to do this. And in turn, it wind up being something that was bad, or we wind up regretting. Well, the Bible gives us many stories of incidents like that. For instance, in the Old Testament, we're going to read about Saul here in just a moment. And we're going to see where he gets caught up in the moment of victory. Well, these things that were written aforetime, as Romans 15:4 teaches us, was written for our learning so that through the scriptures we might have hope. It is an example for us to learn by how God treated those people in the past and how he will deal with us today if we refuse to obey his will, when we refuse to acknowledge him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you pull that up in verse number 1, if you'll look there with me, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat," next, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lust after. God here is trying to get us to see that these things that were written aforetime or in the past were written for a special purpose, and that is for us who are New Testament Christians to live by. See, a lot of people think that they can get away by patronizing God. They can mock God, or they can literally ignore God and do what they want to do when they want to do it and how they want to. And in turn, we live in a world where God will not play with us and will not accept our half-hearted worship. You know, we walk in here, we sing a few songs, and we think everything is all right, but yet when we get outside these doors, how will we live our lives? But I'm here to tell you, we need to be committed to our Lord and learn from these examples that God has left us, that we won't get caught up in the moment. Many people, our church folks, are all caught up in the thrills of life, pursuing those things of the world and not those things of God. For example, we know some people that will work 7 days a week, 10 and 12 hours a day, and forsake the assembly of our God. Now, do you think God wants us to come together in one body, praising his name as one of his holy people? And see, we can't praise God collectively if you are not here, provoking one another to love and good works. We need to see each other, that we can encourage each other, motivate each other to continue in this path that God has set us on. I need you to understand that God has given us a great work, and it is our responsibility as his children to carry out this work and not get caught up in the moments, the temporary pleasures of this world. Let's take a look at Saul here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's look there right quick, and I won't hold you long tonight. And the Bible says, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place. And right there, that's the most important point, because Saul had just conquered the Amalekites. He had just conquered the Amalekites. And I know he was feeling good about the victory. You know, I know he was feeling good. But the Bible teaches us he went to set up him a place. That literally means he wanted to set up a monument for himself. You know, he was proud of his victory. He was proud of his accomplishment. And sometimes we get all caught up in the accomplishment. We get all caught up in the things that we have achieved. We feel good about ourselves. We want people to pat us on the back, and we want to point to what we have done. So he set up a place for himself and said, hey, I want this for a remembrance of what I have accomplished. Oh, yes. Look at what I have achieved. See, he wants somebody to come along and see that monument and brag on it. And y'all know the feeling, huh? When you do something well, when you accomplish something that's good, and you can brag about it. How often have we gone around telling people what we've done and what we have accomplished, and we just thank God for everything, but we fail to see that we can get caught up in that moment, and that moment can be an addiction where we strive for it. Y'all following what I'm saying? Y'all understand? We can try. All the thing we want to do is make ourselves look good. We want the praise. We want the glory. We want the honor. And yet we fail to realize and all of that in which we do, we can't do anything without God. We don't even take the moment out to thank Him for the food we eat, to thank Him for waking us up in the morning, for thanking us, giving us a job to be able to do something and accomplish something. We just, oh yes, it's all about me right now. I just pat me. And when you don't get that pat on the back, how disappointed we become. How disencouraged we become. People can begin to read you a mile away that, hey, ain't nobody praised him today. And that's what this man was looking for. In chapter 6, the Bible teaches us that Saul was a goodly man. And now that can mean good looking, but yet he was a simple man. When he first ran into Samuel, he was running around looking for some donkeys. That's what he was doing. It was nothing complicated about him. But one thing I've come to realize, when you gain a little power, when you gain a little influence, how much can power corrupt? I'm telling you, that influence, that power, when we get that little taste of praise, go straight to the head, and we become those big-headed people that we say we don't, he think he's somebody. Saul, I began to think he was somebody, but all the time, as he was thinking and building this monument, he didn't think about how he had violated God's holy will. When he did the functions of the priest offering sacrifices in chapter 6. He didn't think about that. And a lot of times we go out looking for things to accomplish, but yet we don't thank God or look to God to guide our lives. I'm telling you, without God, you are hopeless. Because you are pursuing things of this world, pursuing things in the world, and these things that we pursue in this world are only temporary moments of pleasure. I need you to know that it does not last very long. And this is the key here. As we pursue those things, we become God's enemy. The carnal mind, according to Romans chapter 8, is enemy against God. You become God's enemy as you pursue those things that bring you joy and glory. Now, wait just a minute. I don't want you to get me wrong. It is nothing wrong with trying to achieve something. But when we achieve something and leave our God, we might as well have not achieved it. See, this is the thing that we have to be aware of again. Another point. We need to stop lying on God. Yes. Let's look a little bit closer. Let's go to the next verse here as Samuel talks to Saul about this thing that he has done. And in turn, Saul tells, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of what? Now you see the man of God approaching, and now you want to be all godly. You want to give him praise. And yet, you know, you just finished building a monument of praise for your very self. God gave a commandment, and he expected Saul to fulfill the commandment by ultimately destroying everything the Amalekites had. But no, No, we want to praise the God. You know what that means to me? That's saying that we want to be people that want to praise God our way. We want to be people that choose the way we give to God. We want to be people that choose when, how, where we should praise God. Because I realize and understand that some people don't praise God until they come to church on Sunday. Don't even think about it until they come to the building. Where is Sunday morning? Got to go to church. Come on. If you got to wait till you get here to praise God, you might as well stay at home. Oh, Saul wanted to wait until he saw Samuel. Then it was all about God. All about God then. Oh, but we know it was not. In the next verse, please. The Bible says this. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in my ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? What does that mean, Saul? Or again, here comes another lie. Because when you start lying once, you can't help but to lie twice to cover up the one that you've already told. And you're separating yourself farther and farther from God's will. See, he was damning his very self. See, nobody has to damn you. You will damn yourself by lying on God. May not like it, but it's the truth. Look at the next verse. Watch what he said. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice. Huh? Unto the Lord? What? Unto the Lord? Wait now. Let me tell you something, church. When the Lord gives the commandment, we need to start sacrificing where God told us to sacrifice. We need to clean up the mess and not claim the mess and bring it to the, and say, oh, we were doing this for God. You know, that's like, I see in some of the gangster movies. You know, here come this criminal that have killed several people and robbed and stole, and he comes to the Catholic priest and say, Father, forgive me. What? It's like that man who went out and stole those chickens and said, God, forgive me for the chickens I've stolen. And forgive me for those chickens that I will steal tomorrow. You already committed in your head that you're going to transgress the will of God. So many of us have already made a decision in our minds that we're going to do what we want to do because we get the thrill out of it. Like playing Russian roulette. With a loaded gun. I ain't talking about a loaded gun. Once you go against the will of God, you might as well blow your own brains out. Oh, what's this? Oh, we doing this for the Lord. The Bible, go back to verse number 6. The Bible teaches us what it was all about. Watch verse number 6 there. And Saul said unto the Kenite, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye show kindness to all the children of Israel. Next verse. Watch. Verse. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou cometh to Shunah, that is over against Egypt. Forgive my reading. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Now, who took him alive? Saul did. And watch what it said. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Next verse. Ultimately, they made a decision to take the best of the animals, to take the best of things. They wanted to make a showing. And see, let me tell you, a lot of times people want to make a showing. You know, look what we have done. We're bringing back all the good stuff. We're going to sacrifice this to God in case somebody asked us why we brought it here. That's like rolling a piano up in here and banging it all the way through service and saying that. Okay, y'all see it for yourself. There it is. He wanted to keep the fat. They wanted to keep the fat. They were not willing to carry out the will of God. And let me assure you, you cannot get to heaven half-heartedly. You can't get to heaven doing half of God's will. No, God says, love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love him with your entire being. Don't give God that half-hearted, straddle the fence kind of worship. That is not acceptable. And yet we want to come in here with all this other stuff on our minds when we should be praising our God, giving him our full attention, our full devotion, because that is what God requires of your worship to him. And yet so many of us, I had a bad morning, a bad night. Somebody, come on, forget about those things that are in your past and think about your present state of being. Think about where you are right now with your Lord. For we don't know if we're going to take another step forward. We don't know what will happen in our future, church. We don't know. The only power we have is right now. And I say, praise God right now. Give him what he deserves. He's did everything to show his great love to us. He sacrificed the very best he had for us. And we don't want to devote ourselves to him? Come on. Oh, Saul, yeah, I want the glory. I want the praise. And boy, sometimes we start off on the good foot and wind up on the bad. It's time to get that thing right with God. Well, let me move on. And I just want to talk, okay? Could you get chapter 16 and verse 14 in 1 Samuel? Because I want you to see, when you play with God, you're playing with a dangerous thing. Oh, Saul did all this damage. He don't offer the offering to God. He didn't ultimately do what God has told him to do. He placed this curse on his own people. And was supposed to kill Jonathan because Jonathan took a little honey and ate for nourishment. But in chapter 16, God gets tired of playing with us. And this is the end result when God gets tired. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. I'm telling you, God's Spirit will depart from us. He will leave us out there all by ourselves. You don't believe me? Read 2 Thessalonians. Say, the Bible said God will send you a strong delusion to make you believe a lie because you don't have love for God's truth. God will send it your way. God will. God will depart from you. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul, or troubled him. And from that point on, they went looking for a young lad to play the harp, to calm the evil spirit that he had in him. And this young lad happened to be a man after God's own heart. Whoa. See, I need you to understand that when a positive and negative try to come together, they are not coming together. A man with an evil spirit and a man with a godly spirit, no way they are going to come together. Well, it started off pretty decent. David would calm his evil spirit, and all of a sudden, David started seeing spears thrown at him. You know, see, I want you to understand, Saul is on the verge of going berserk. Y'all feel me? You can read it for yourself. It's all there in the text. See, when that evil spirit comes on you, you don't have anybody to stand with you through the storms, through the trials, through the tribulations, through all the things that are trying to affect and control your life. You don't have anybody standing with you. And the only thing you can do is act out. You know, one of the reasons why society is acting out so and turning away from God, because God's spirit has left. And all that's left is the madness of this world. That's all left is the madness, the insanity of our society. That's the reason why we see so much trouble in our streets. That's the reason why we're seeing trouble all over this world. And we don't want to give God all we have, because let me assure you, this has to come to an end. But here's old Saul. Man, he tries to set David up just like they tried to set up Jesus. You know something, that once our authority is threatened, just like Jesus threatened the authority of the Pharisees, we got to get rid of them. And Saul felt that. He had to get rid of David. When he heard them over in Acts, over in 1 Samuel chapter 18, those sisters singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens. Oh, Lord. It was on then. Saul sent him on crazy missions like, hey, you go get 100 foreskins of the Philistines. You know, I want them to destroy you where I can say that you went to war and you got killed. He was trying to set him up, folks, just as the Pharisees and the scribes tried to set up your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, hey, I'm telling you, tried to set him up, had to get rid of him. But this is the amazing thing about all this. As hard as they tried to destroy Jesus, Jesus already knew that he was going to do. He was gonna, you know, he prayed on that mountain, Lord, not my will. But I want you all to understand that it doesn't need to be our will. It needs to be God's will in our life. It don't need to be about us and us getting glory. We need to be praising God and giving him the glory, for he's made a way for us. He's made a way out of no way. When we were doomed to death, God made a way. And let me assure you of this. I want to assure you of this. Hey, when we live for the Lord and when we go down for the Lord, hey, nothing can keep us from being with the Lord. Do you hear me, church? Nothing can keep us when we go down with him and come up with him. Nothing can stop us from rising again in the name of the Lord. Nothing. And I refuse to die for something that's temporary in this life when I can live for my Lord and my Savior. Refuse to die for this junk, this pride of life, which is limited and only temporary. See, the harder Saul tried to destroy, the more glory God gave him. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The harder he tried to kill him, the more people flocked to him. Just think, where would you be today if it wasn't for God and our Lord Jesus Christ dying for you? What hope would you have? What assurance? You are nothing without Jesus, your Lord. So why do we want all this pride and joy and jubilation in this world like Saul did. I don't need that. I need something that's going to be eternal and forever. I need God. And so that's what I'm encouraging you all to understand this evening, is that we need the Lord most desperately. God does not need us, but he will accept us if we will obey his will. Oh, thank God for that. All I want to do is obey you, Lord. I want to be like the Romans said in Romans chapter 12. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, which is holy and acceptable to God. That's a reasonable thing that I live for him daily. That's what God wants from us. A dedication that will not fade away. And no matter what storm may come, no matter what trial may take place, no matter how many mountains we have to climb and rivers we have to cross, all I know is God has already assured me of victory. And I want to be a part of the victory. I want to be. I might not get there as fast as you get there. Matter of fact, I may be the last person standing. I don't care. I made up my mind that, God, I can be your footstool as long as I'm in your presence. I don't care where I am. All I want to be is with you, Lord. And I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you to desire just to be a footstool in the presence of God. I don't need nothing else in my life. Just let me be next to you, Lord. Let me kiss your feet, Lord. I don't care. All I want is my God. And not the pride and the pleasures of this world. I recall a scripture that teaches us, what if a man gains the whole world and yet lose his soul? What does he have? Absolutely nothing. What about you today? What about you today? If you're not a Christian, learn what it takes to be a Christian. Give your life to our Lord. Give it to him, because I'm telling you, it's better to be a footstool in the presence of Jesus Christ than to be his enemy. How do you do that? Believe what I'm saying to you. Believe it. Faith cometh by hearing. I think I gave you enough word of God to encourage you. Be willing to repent. That, turn away from those things. I know it's challenging. I know, you know, I'm thankful to God that he gave me this time here on earth, because I get a chance to put away that old life. Just destroy that old man that keeps trying to come back into my life, brother. He's trying to come back and take me out, but I refuse to listen to that sinful stuff. I want to give my life to God. That's where repentance, and I know it's a struggle, because, hey, there's not a man nor a woman here that doesn't struggle spiritually sometimes. There's too many challenges in this old world. Too many things going on that does not affect our lives. And boy, yet I'm going to keep turning towards God. I'm going to keep turning. No matter how bitter it may get, I'm going to keep turning towards God, because I know. You know, it's just like driving through a storm sometimes. You just got to keep driving until you get through it. You know, y'all understand what? You just got to keep going until you get through that ordeal, through that trial, through that difficulty. You just never take your eyes off the Lord. Confess the sweet name of Jesus if you're not a Christian. He's the only one that has the authority for us to baptize you. He's the only one. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen somewhere, you made some mistake, you have let that old pride get to you, you know, change it. Cut off that switch and cut the one that says life on. Life in Christ. That's the one that we want. We want you to be a part of this family. We want you to be a true part of this family. We want to be in fellowship with one another. And the only way that we will be in fellowship is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you're here this evening and you need to respond to God, I don't ask you to respond to God, not me, respond to God. The only thing I can do is pray for you. And if you continue to go out stealing chickens, then my prayers won't even do you any good. So if you're here tonight and you need to submit to God, let us stand and sing the invitation song.